Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 5th of February 2020 from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. First, background to the news, Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person tonight. No increase in the rates in Peel for the fourth year running. 10 coronavirus positive cruise passengers quarantined in Japan. It's reported that Isai Scheinberg is on $1 million bail in New York. Men apparently don't understand menstruation. The latest on the teachers' dispute and a hen harrier from the Isle of Man has been poisoned.
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast am I. The island is set for very wet, windy and wintry weather at the weekend and into next week, thanks to Storm Kira. There's a yellow weather warning in place for gales or severe gales, with the risk of there being storm force gusts. And spells of rain are due to be heavy, followed by wintry showers with snow on a high ground early next week. Manx Utilities says around 900 of its customers in Douglas will be without water supply tonight. The organisation will be moving some residents of Douglas Promenade onto a new water main at midnight, with the process expected to take around 4 hours. A man's been jailed after admitting driving under the influence of a cocktail of drugs, including heroin and antidepressants. 32-year-old Mark Philip David Galbraith of the Isle of Man Prison appeared before High Bailiff Jane Hughes at Douglas Courthouse. He's been sent to prison for 10 weeks and banned from driving for 2 years. Further afield, the head of UK counter-terrorism policing says the threat in the UK is not diminishing following Sunday's attack in Streatham. Neil Bass, who has also backed plans to end the automatic early release of offenders. An American lawyer representing some of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein has called for officials to send Prince Andrew to the US to help with the investigation into the convicted sex offender. In return, Lisa Bloom's urged Washington to extradite Anne Sekulis to the UK. She's charged with causing the death of Harry Dunn. And Britain's culture secretary has denied attacking the BBC. It's after the government launched a consultation on whether failing to pay the licence fee should remain a criminal offence. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham Advocates, one of the island's leading law firms, will be at ICE London, where they look forward to seeing you. Or visit manbenham.com. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Go to my Ed. Thank you, Ed. Yes, the weather warning, but this is from 6 o'clock Saturday evening. Severe gales from Saturday onwards. A little closer to home from the Ronalds Way Met Office for tonight. No warnings out in the North Irish Sea. On the Isle of Man, dry and clear at first. There'll be a slight ground frost, but then as the sky clouds over, overnight temperatures recovering to about 5 degrees. For Thursday, Jerdain, we're looking at dry and cloudy with light breezes, 7 degrees. Top temperature down to 3 through the night. Into Friday, Jahenya, dry and cloudy, and up to 8 degrees. Saturday's when all the trouble starts. Wet start, then gales and rain from Saturday afternoon. Gales and severe gales and rain on Sunday. High water tonight, 22 minutes to 9. Low water is at 2 minutes to 3 a.m. Sunrise, 3 minutes to 8 tomorrow morning. And high water is at 2 minutes to 9.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Peel commissioners have announced rates in the town will be frozen for the fourth year in a row. The local tax has now been set at 257p since 2016. However, residents will see a £10 increase in the fixed refuse charge this year to cover rising waste costs. According to Commissioner Hazel Hannan, the freeze has been achieved by a mixture of frugal budgeting and Peel's expanding size, which increases the town's rateable value. She spoke to our local democracy reporter, Ewan.
Well, I suppose one part of it is that Peel's growing, more properties paying rates. But of course, as more properties come on, you have a bigger area and you have got the services to provide for those properties as well. So you've got things like refuse collection, although that is separate. You've got street cleaning, you've got grass cutting, street lights, and there's many more street lights in the new estates than there is in the, you know, the sort of like conservation area of Peel. And that's something that we are looking at and we have a programme for that. But I think we have been quite frugal in our spending. Some of the programmes that we have budgeted for over the years have been a bit slow to get done. So they have maybe gone from one year to the next. That in a way, although we budgeted for things, we have made some savings there. Because of the reserves that we built up, we ended up with quite a considerable sum. We are building a playground and it's costing quite a bit of money, which we're able to fund ourselves without any borrowing.
Do you think that's important not to borrow? I know a lot of authorities do borrow for capital investment. Do you think Peel are in a good position there that they don't have to borrow for certain projects?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because we don't have to pay the interest rate. The only people that's got the only body that's going to make any money is going to be the banks.
Would anybody say Peel commissioners haven't invested enough in the town?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be lots of people that will say that. But, you know, we do invest a considerable sum in Peel.
Well, I'd just like to ask you the fact that Peel has expanded. Obviously, that means as a set of commissioners, there's more properties, the rateable value of the town goes up. Yes, you have to provide more services to those, street lighting, etc. Mm-hmm. That's not going to last forever. Will it be possible to keep holding the rate? Do you think there's got to come a time, maybe very soon, where services, everything costs are going up and you will have to start to increase the rate?
Oh, we will. But there's no two ways about it, because government is trying to pass more responsibilities onto us.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSound. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations.
24 minutes to 6 on update. A petition was started this week calling on the Chief Minister to intervene in an ongoing pay dispute between the Education Department and teachers. It was started by the National Secretary of the Head Teachers Union, Rob Kelsall, after overwhelming votes of no confidence in the Education Minister, Graham Cregeen, and his department. Following Howard Quayle's announcement, there'll be an independent review into issues around that dispute, but not teachers' pay. Dolan Mercer got Mr. Kelsall's reaction.
Whilst on the face of it, we welcome the intervention of the Chief Minister in this escalating dispute, not including the crux of the matter, i.e. the dispute over pay in this review, is in our view, a missed opportunity.
So is it an intervention then? Because it isn't addressing what you asked the Chief Minister to intervene on.
Yes, and as I say, we've cautiously welcomed the fact that there are a multitude of issues at play here, and the fact that the department and the Minister for Education has lost the confidence of the profession in itself is a real concern. And whilst, you know, we understand that the Minister doesn't want to get involved in the day-to-day negotiation on the issues of pay, what we're calling for is for the Chief Minister to meet with us to actually, first of all, understand the terms of reference of the so-called independent review that he's announced, because we want to obviously ensure that it is only independent and addresses the issues that are systemic within the department. But also on the issue of pay, there are huge question marks now hanging over the integrity of the desk, management team, and also around the intervention of MERS, who seemingly have facilitated discussions with the organisations that are clearly not in dispute. So that needs to be a conversation. The devil is always in the detail on these things.
The Chief Minister said that it's an issue that won't be rushed and shouldn't be rushed. Do you agree on that?
No, I think there's again, a real sense of urgency now. You know, the industrial action, which, began last week, is now escalating in the Isle of Man. And that is a situation that ultimately will start to have an impact on the education service. And
has the time for a review passed in your view?
In our view, the review should be running alongside the urgent focus of the here and now, and that necessity to sit around the table with the Chief Minister and senior civil servants outside of desk in order that we can get some integrity back into the negotiation process.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
20 to 6 on update on Manx Radio. The Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:05 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas any minute now, and then spinning around heading off for Heysham at 7:45 this evening, arriving there at about 11:30, and the overnight departure from Heysham at 2:15. Of course, be aware at the weekend if the gales hit us, as they're likely to from Saturday evening, the Sting Packet schedule may be disrupted, so make sure you stay tuned to Manx Radio. The Ben is the only duty craft at the moment. The Firecraft Manana will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool next month, March 27th, the first sailing of the year to Dublin is March 28th, the day after, and she heads for Belfast on April the 8th.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
If you live in Douglas Prom, you may be without water tonight. Manx Utilities say about 900 of its customers will be without water supply tonight. They'll be moving some residents of Douglas Prom onto a new water main at midnight. The process will take around 4 hours. And during the time, the water supply will be shut off and may cause low pressure, even no water. If you're affected, you should have received a notification. From Douglas Prom to Japan. A cruise ship has been quarantined in Japan after 10 passengers tested positive for coronavirus. David Abel's on the vessel with his wife. He spoke to Sky Television's Kay Burley about the conditions on board.
Well, I think for many passengers it's going to be absolute boredom. We are quite fortunate that we have got a cabin with a balcony, so we can open the door, get fresh air. If it's sunny, sit on the balcony. The people I feel really sorry for are those with inside cabins who've got no natural light, no fresh air. It's going to be pretty grim for them for 2 weeks.
Yeah, what about food?
That is that has changed dramatically. On the two-week cruise that we really enjoyed, it has been fabulous. The food was superb. We could choose whatever we wanted every mealtime. Today, totally different story. Breakfast arrived 18 hours after my last meal. So they gave me breakfast eventually at midday today, and that was very limited. Glass of orange juice, a yogurt, and a bit of melon. Lunch followed half an hour later, and that was a lettuce sandwich with some chicken inside and a dessert. One coffee has been served the entire day. I mean, it's now 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, so it has changed beyond recognition to what you would call a luxury cruise. But this is not the fault of Princess Cruise Line. You know, it's not their fault. They are complying with the Japanese health authority, and they're doing it to safeguard the crew and all the passengers, for which I am grateful.
And what, I mean, how aware were you? I think there's 10 people that have contracted the coronavirus that are on board. What were you told about them? How did you become aware that it was going to be an issue?
OK, first thing is those 10 passengers have been removed from the boat this morning by the Coast Guard, and they've been taken to a medical facility on the mainland. So now we only have passengers that have not tested positive. But of course, we've been breathing the same air as those that have been removed. So I would imagine in the next 5 days, we will again, every passenger, be tested to see whether we have contracted the virus.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Business Connex has been praised for its work and support by application developer and distributors Zotobi Management. The free-of-charge service on the Isle of Man, the strategy has helped more than 130 entrepreneurs, individuals and businesses move to the island. Since its launch in 2018, the organisation has worked closely with the Department for Enterprise to provide a support to business development managers and island network as well. Details from Britain. It's claimed 1 in 14 people no longer carries a wallet, and 20% of those who do use one don't keep cash in it. Work that out. A UK-wide survey was carried out by PayPal. The rise in contactless cards and mobile payment apps means many people are less reliant on notes and coins.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
The latest at 16 minutes to 6, UK and European stocks closed higher, extending gains despite the coronavirus outbreak. The broader US market was higher, with energy, healthcare and financial stocks providing a lift despite weakness in tech stocks. The US dollar held gains against the Japanese yen amid a broad unwinding of safe haven deposit, and oil prices jumped. Media reports that scientists have developed a drug against the coronavirus. Gold prices rose as investors latched onto the metal Apple's overall uptrend. In corporate news, corrugated packaging group Smurfit Kappa was higher after it reported a rise in full-year core earnings and revenue. Peers DS Smith and Mondi also rallied. Barratt Developments advanced as the house builder announced a further extension to its capital return program, and Imperial Brands under the cosh after it issued a profit warning as a worldwide crackdown on vaping products takes effect. The markets at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was up 0.5% at 7,482. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.5% at 13,478. Just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones up 1.2% at 29,152, and the NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.1% at 9,479. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.75% at 3,322. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1.30 and €1.18.1. In the commodities market, gold up 0.25% at $1,557 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 4.1% at $56 net.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Good evening. It's 13 minutes to 6, and this is Update on Manx Radio. It's been reported in international media outlets that the co-founder of Isle of Man-based PokerStars has been released on $1 million bail in New York as a long-standing legal dispute looks to be nearer a resolution. Isai Scheinberg travelled to America from Switzerland to face charges against him after federal prosecutors launched extradition proceedings. Now, you can watch the full interview at the business section of manxradio.com on the YouTube channel and social media pages, but to explain some of the background to the case, Dolan Mercer spoke to e-gaming and poker expert Michael Josom, former head of PR at PokerStars.
In April 2011, the US Department of Justice unsealed a series of indictments against three big online gambling firms in PokerStars, Full Tilt Poker, and Absolute Poker, and at the same time against a number of individuals. And so there were two people on the Isle of Man who were named in those indictments. One was Paul Tait, and the other was Isai Scheinberg.
What came next, really? From my fairly primitive understanding, basically he had to stay away from American soil.
So over the ensuing years, every other party to the dispute has settled, including the companies. So back in 2012, PokerStars settled with the US Department of Justice, and as part of that settlement acquired Full Tilt Poker, which was previously their competitor and had been operating out of Alderney. That settlement came to fruition under the Scheinberg leadership of the company, and that was really a testament of their commitment to the industry and commitment to the customers, even of their competitor. So as a result of that settlement, every single customer of their competitor was made whole, over $700 million. Each of the other people have also settled in various ways. Now it looks like Isai appears to also be nearing a settlement with the US Department of Justice.
What's the alleged wrongdoing in the first place here?
So the charges essentially relate to the operation of PokerStars, and they relate to financial transactions and also allegedly the conduct of online gambling services. And so one of the things that differentiates online poker compared to sports betting or casino games is that in a game of poker, the operator, the house, is not a participant in the game. Mm-hmm. The background in the US legislation relates especially to customers betting against the house, most obviously in the context of sports betting, whereas in the game of poker, PokerStars was providing a place for customers to play against each other.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff. Manx Radio Sport.
11 minutes to 6, fast to my Ed Oldham.
Mark Cavendish was involved in a crash on stage 2 of the Saudi Tour today. It happened within the first 70 kilometres of the stage when a handful of riders went down. Cav needed a bandage on his leg after reportedly suffering a cut from a chainring. He made it back into the bunch despite the crash, but then another crash in the middle of the bunch took down a selection of riders. Cav wasn't involved this time, but he was held up by the collision and lost contact with the bunch. Further afield, Tottenham can extend their unbeaten run to 6 matches this evening. They host Southampton in their FA Cup fourth round replay following Sunday's victory over Manchester City. A home tie with Norwich awaits the winners. Celtic have another chance to further extend their winning run in the Scottish Premiership tonight. The leaders are at third place Motherwell following wins over Kilmarnock, Ross County, St Johnstone and Hamilton. Nearest challengers Rangers host Hibs. The Rugby League Super League Board have voted to put measures in place to potentially block future controversial signings. They've accepted the RFL's decision to register Israel Folau with the Catalan Dragons. He was sacked by Rugby Australia last May for alleged homophobic comments made on social media. Uncapped forwards Dowie Lake and Tame Basham have been called into Wales's Rugby Union Six Nations squad. The Ospreys hooker and Dragons back row have been training with the senior squad in recent weeks.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
9 minutes to six, everything's coming in to Ronald's Way a little ahead of time. The 5 past 5 departure, though, to London City. BA's London City flight went out 25 minutes late, just after 5 past. Departure to Belfast went out, ironically, 9 minutes early. Later departures to Edinburgh, looks like it's heading out on time. The 5 to 6, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick reporting no departure problems at the moment. Glen Road and Laxey, that temporary closure should just about be over now. Laxey, of course, is open for business during the works there. Temporary two-way 24-hour signals at Ramsey Road in Laxey. Also temporary two-way signals, Bride Road in Andrews and the closure of the Zebra Crossing for emergency repairs to the collapsed footway between Andrews School and Croft Park. Curragh Road, St John's, the Foxtoe Road, of course, that it's going on there till the 30th of April. It's a year-long do. Closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Access to the tip via the Hope, of course. Peel Road in Douglas has got that temporary closure of the footway. It's all complicated, and there are some traffic lights to watch out for as well, though, while Dandara redeveloped the former Athol garage site. Central Promenade, Douglas, all the promenades. It's going on Lock Promenade, Harris Central, Queen's Promenade. It's like a Harold Pinter play. All the details at maxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey, to see what's happening across the Isle of Man. No problems on the mountain at the moment. The Matrix signs showing nothing untoward.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
There's a lack of understanding about menstruation, and it has to be addressed, according to Hannah Grove. A campaigner is hoping to raise awareness of period poverty. She's interested in the challenges women face globally as well as on the Isle of Man. Hannah was on The Man in Line earlier on today and believes there are shortcomings in the way the subject is taught, especially to men.
I think that men and boys should receive the same education when it comes to these things as girls.
Do you think young boys should know about girls' periods?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really don't believe in separating boys and girls when it comes to education in general. I think girls need to know what boys go through, and boys need to know what girls go through. I've talked to boys even up to the age of 17 who don't understand really even the basics about menstruation. For example, not even understanding that a girl will bleed on her period. That was a shocking moment for me. I didn't see that one coming. I hope that he was in the minority, but it is important to know that because period education happens maybe once or twice through someone's school education, so usually once in primary school they get the talk, and maybe it will crop up in biology and life skills maybe a couple of times when they're in secondary school. But there are going to be students that slip through the net there if they happen to be off school, or they happen to not be in the right frame of mind that day and not listening carefully, then they might miss that information. And so you are going to get people coming through school that don't fully understand the concept. So breaking that stigma and educating people, even men with all the education that they have, still don't necessarily understand the products and what women go through. And I'm sure my darling husband won't mind me mentioning that when I got passionate about this and I started questioning him, do you know this, do you know that, when did you hear about this, and I've hopefully opened his eyes, because I talk about it all the time, it probably drives him crazy. But just making sure that men understand this as well, men that have wives, even if you don't have wives, you have friends or you have sisters or you have mums or you have colleagues who are dealing with this on a monthly basis, and I think men should have a good broad understanding of it as well.
A hen harrier, which spent much of its life in the Isle of Man, has been found dead in Ireland, apparently poisoned by an illegal substance. Mary, the hen harrier, was part of a programme across Britain to electronically tag harriers and track them by a satellite to better understand their behaviour and movements. Managing director of the Manx Bird Life, Neil Morris, was involved in tracking Mary on her travels and found that her tag was indicating an unusually low body temperature. A team was dispatched to rural Ireland to locate the bird.
She was found dead next to a dead pigeon, next to a shooting estate, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together and to work out that what had happened was that the estate was putting out poison to kill predators and leaving bait around, such as the poisoned pigeon. Clearly Mary had seen that as a bit of carrion. And young birds of prey particularly eat a lot of carrion while they learn the skills of hunting live prey. And she succumbed to this illegal poison, carbofuran. It's a particularly nasty and illegal poison in Europe and across the British Isles. And it's just another sad tale of a bird of prey, which in itself is rare and protected by all the laws of the land, coming to grief through illegal means. Thankfully for the satellite tags, we can track exactly what happened to her. We can put the story together with the on-ground evidence as well. Mary has been post-mortemed, and there is a very clear case that we're hoping will get prosecuted. This particular bait is illegal. It's been banned in Europe and in the British Isles. There is a de facto ban in the United States as well. It's used to control pesticides, insects that tend to attack crops. Nobody should have it. So what we suspect is that somebody has got an old stock of this poison and they're gradually using it up. But its use is banned. The putting out of bait with poison is also illegal. Pets as well are becoming contaminated, and it doesn't take much of this poison at all to cause serious organ damage, even to larger mammals and including people.
That's it for Update. You can hear everything that you've heard tonight on a podcast that's available via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. Details at manxradio.com. And if you haven't downloaded the Manx Radio app, do so. Absolutely free of charge at the App Store. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Sarah Henley. I'm Andy Winton. Update is back Thursday evening at 5:30. Next Spotlight with Sarah. W.